So just while you're turning to Habakkuk 3, we've spent four Sunday evenings, this is our fourth Sunday evening, going through this very short Old Testament book. So it's about, I guess, 600 years before Jesus was born. It is at a time when the nation of Israel was facing this kind of looming invasion from the Babylonian Empire, this kind of superpower of the day. And Habakkuk is a prophet. He's a man who speaks God's words to the people. That's who he is. That was his job in life. And Habakkuk is a bit unusual. If you've ever read any Old Testament prophecy, normally it's words to the people. But Habakkuk's a bit different because it's made up of a conversation between Habakkuk and God. And he kind of goes to and fro. So Habakkuk speaks, the Lord replies. Habakkuk speaks, the Lord replies. And this is what's unfolding. We're kind of given this little window into this relationship between God and one of his disciples, a believer really. And then today we hit chapter 3. And chapter 3 is kind of Habakkuk's kind of summary. It's his conclusion. It's his prayer in response to everything that he's heard from God. And as we do this, let's not forget that Habakkuk is teaching us to learn to live by faith, something that as Christians, followers of Jesus, we also seek to do. So we're going to dive into chapter 3, and then a bit later we'll have a look at this together. But Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigonoth. Now, we have no idea what Shigonoth is, but it's likely there from your footnote that it's kind of a musical term, okay? Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, O Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode with your horses and your victorious chariots? You uncover your bow. You called for many arrows. Selah. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear, you pierced his head. When his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the waters. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. For the director of music on my stringed instruments. This is the word of God to us this evening. Fantastic. Please sit down. It's a great thing to pray, isn't it? So come, Eth, do you mind just popping back a slide just for a second? So come, awaken our hearts. It's those words, isn't it, that say, God, please, as we get the scriptures open, please would you teach us. Please would you illumine our hearts and our minds. Would you show us Jesus? One of the things Jesus teaches us, that even though this book was written 600 years before Jesus came, it has everything to teach us about him. And so we should pray, shouldn't we, and ask that the Lord Jesus tonight helps us to listen over the drumbeat of the fair. That's not the way church is going, by the way. That's not how I'm subtly introducing, like, dance music into the life of church. But let's seek God's help, shall we? We need it tonight, so let's pray. Gracious God and Father in heaven, we've sung together that we long for you to illumine our hearts and our minds. Father, unless you work among us tonight, these will simply remain words on a page. So we ask that you would make them live for us, that these ancient words of the prophet Habakkuk would speak to us today. Show us Christ, cause us to magnify him. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Sometimes you get these funny things in job interviews, don't you, where they sort of ask you a random question, like, if you could be an animal, what would you choose to be? I wonder how you would answer that question. If you could be any animal, what would you choose to be? Now here's one for you. How many of you here would say, I'd love to be a mountain deer? Here's a mountain deer. Have you ever seen a mountain deer before? I guess it wouldn't have been high on our list, would it? But a mountain deer, if you've ever seen one, it is quite a spectacular thing. So that literally is the side of a cliff face. And these mountain deers, they literally just bounce along like it's a pavement. They walk along these cliff faces like it was the flattest of roads. They just bounce along, their feet are stable, and they just go. Has anyone ever seen a mountain deer? Nobody. I promise you I'm not making this up, okay? It is true, isn't it? Yeah. Absolutely. So this is a very Israel thing. So where Habakkuk lived, you would see these all the time, okay? That is true. Mountain deer. So in your job interview, would you say, I would like to be a mountain deer? No. Good. Well, I want to tell you tonight that the answer should be yes. Every one of us here should long to be a mountain deer. Now, let me show you why, before you think I've absolutely lost the plot and need a holiday. Here's why. Come with me to chapter 3 and verse 19. The sovereign Lord, this is Habakkuk speaking, this is where he's got to on his journey. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. You see, if you'd have asked Habakkuk, what animal would you like to be? He would have said, I'd love to be a mountain deer. And he wants to be a mountain deer because it's a portrait. If you look carefully at this verse, and you have to hear the poetry of it, he says it's a portrait of being someone who has so much faith in God, trusts God so much that it enables them to be strong to walk on ground that's uneven and steep. It's the portrait of a man whose trust in God makes him strong to do life on the rough ground that he's experiencing in his life. So if you come back with us to the beginning of Habakkuk, where we've been the last few weeks, what is going on in Habakkuk's world? Well, chapter 1, you'll see it. Chapter 1, verse 2. What's going on in his world? If you look back there, you can interact. It's okay. Violence. Violence is going on around him. Is there violence in our world today? Yes. Yes, there is. What else is going on in his world? Injustice. Tolerance. He is walking on the rough ground of life. It's a steep hill that he's being asked to walk on. Road that would normally kind of make you stumble and wobble. The evil in the world that he prays about throughout this book. You see, and friends, as we come to the end of our brief time in the book of Habakkuk, isn't that where you would like to be? Wouldn't you like to be able to say verse 19? Would you like to be able to say chapter 3, verse 19? The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. As we walk on the rough ground of this age that we live in, the rough ground of our world, the rough ground of our own sinful hearts, the rough ground perhaps of broken relationships, the rough ground of jobs that just are hard work, the rough ground of broken families and broken bodies. Wouldn't you love to be able to say, God has given me the strength to walk this? To walk up a mountain path like a deer strides up the side of these mountains, my ankle won't turn. You see, Habakkuk is a man who has learned to walk by faith, or is learning to walk by faith. He is learning to draw his strength by trusting in God, who will never fail him. He's journeyed from stumbling to security, standing strong in God. He's journeyed from being troubled to being someone who trusts in God. And the question is, how does he arrive at this verse? How does he get to the end of this book and say, I'm like a mountain deer. I can stride across all the tough things that life throws at me. I can bounce along a steep path. How does he arrive there? How will we ever get to verse 19? Well, the answer is in chapter 3. Chapter 3 helps us for how we can arrive at verse 19. See, look at chapter 3, verse 1, a prayer of the prophet Habakkuk. It's a prayer of the prophet who is learning to live by faith. And as we dig into this prayer this evening, it's going to teach us how we can get to the point of being able to say verse 19. It's a hint, actually, that this is to be sung. So chapter 3, there's a hint here that it's kind of a collective thing. It's something we're meant to do together. So even chapter 3, verse 1, you've got this little phrase on Shigonoth. And then if you go to the very end of the chapter, it says, for the director of music on my stringed instruments. Here's a hint that this chapter was preserved for the people of God to say together, to help us be mountain deers, to help us to walk on the heights, to help us to do life, drawing our strength from God, whatever the road is, however steep the path may be. And so how do I get this kind of strength? How do I get the faith that gives me this kind of strength? Well, I want to show you a couple of things. Strength-giving faith, mountain deer faith, first of all, looks up in dependence. Looks up in dependence on God. My gran used to tell me, this was one phrase I just remember all the time she used to say. She said this, you don't ask, you don't get. That's what she used to say to me. And I'm not sure if that's Christian or not, but I'm gonna own it tonight, okay? Because that's what she taught me. My gran said, you don't ask, you don't get. And it is in his journey of faith that Habakkuk models to us this principle. In all his trouble, and in all his distress, he keeps talking to God. He keeps lifting his eyes in dependence. He keeps praying. You see, for Habakkuk, the man learning to live by faith, his confusions drive him to God, not away from God. This is a rhythm we've seen through the book of Habakkuk. Chapter 3 is a prayer. Once again, he is taking his distress, he is taking his troubles to God. It's his response to all that he has heard God say in the previous chapters. So even with the insurance, I'm presuming upon some of you having heard this already, but even with all the assurance he's had in chapter 1 that God is doing something in his day, and even though he's been assured by God that one day he will deal with all the trouble, it doesn't stop Habakkuk pouring out his heart to God about the messy situation he lives in. See, look at verse 2. Here's the start. Lord, you can almost hear the angst. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. On his journey of faith, he dependently asks God to do something to help. He keeps praying. He keeps asking for God's deliverance. He prays that God would show people that he is active in the world. God, you've told me you're active. Please let others see it. He prays that God's help would come to those who cannot help themselves. That's what he's doing in verse 2. And so here's the point, friends. If you know, it's very easy to sort of be passive. Oh yeah, I know God's doing something. We learned that in the book of Habakkuk. And I know that one day he will do something. So I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. Friends, that's not the life of faith. That's not the life that will draw strength from God to go through anything that he asks you to go through. No, the life of faith, the way you reach verse 19 of being like a mountain deer, is by constantly looking up in dependence upon God. We need to pray. Prayer isn't something we do just because we have to. Prayer isn't something that God needs us to do because it makes him feel better. Prayer is something we need to do because it helps us to draw our strength from the one who is strong, to look to him in dependence. See, look at chapter 2, verse 20. This is just before Habakkuk's prayer. Chapter 2, verse 20, God says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." This wonderful picture of God up high in his holy temple, seated on his throne. And the question it poses, are you looking to him in dependence? You know, where does strong faith come from? Where does strength come from to walk on rough ground, to be a mountain deer? It comes from asking. If you don't ask, you don't get. It comes from depending. Faith, drawing our strength from God, means looking up at dependence. So can I ask you this evening, just as something to think about from Habakkuk, are you praying? Does Habakkuk's kind of rippling of prayer through this book, does it challenge you thinking, well, I don't think I'm praying like he would? Are you taking your struggles to God, or are you allowing those struggles to drive you away from God? If you are failing to pray, maybe it's because underlying it is a failure to have faith, to say, actually, this is the one I'm going to get my help from. You see, if we're going to have mountain deer faith, first of all, we need to look up in dependence. But if we are going to reach verse 19, this strength-giving faith, then together we must also learn to look back for assurance. Before I was a pastor, I used to work in IT. And as part of my job, every so often, I used to have to interview people. And you think, well, how do I know if this person's any good? How do I know if this person can be trusted? How do I know if this person's going to do the job I want them to do? And of course, the way that we do it in our world is with CVs. You whip out a CV and you see the track record that someone has for doing something. We look back and we say, oh yeah, look, this person's actually quite good at doing their job. It helps you to trust them as you see all the things listed that they have done, so you can trust them for what you want them to do. And in a similar way, you see, so Habakkuk's looking up in dependence. Lord, do something, please. But then he looks back. That's what's going on in this chapter, in this long bit. He kind of pulls out God's CV. And he recalls God's track record. As Habakkuk finds himself in tough times, as he finds himself, as it were, trying to stumble across a steep slope, a mountain edge, with all that's going on around him, what does he do? Well, he looks back. He reminds himself what God is like. See, come with me to verse 2. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Habakkuk starts to bring to his mind this list of things that his God, his Savior has done that make him famous. And then you've got this long bit. We haven't got time to go through it in detail this evening, but from verse 3 onwards, you'll see, you get this list of God's actions. So coming out from Teman, you've got the idea of this Very poetic language of his actions, his power, lightning flashing forward, plagues and pestilence. See, what is he doing? Well, I think Habakkuk is recalling in poetry the stories of God's power, the stories of God's judgment, the stories that he would have grown up listening to about God, the stories that make him famous. And in particular, you see, what's he recalling about these stories? Well, look at verse 13. I think this is a key verse. You came out, God, mighty God, sovereign God, you came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. These are accounts that he's touching on in these poetry verses of how God delivered and saved his people from their enemies, from those who were against them. Now, we haven't got time to go into detail, but as you read those verses, did they bring any stories to mind to you? Perhaps they brought to mind the rescue from Egypt, the plagues, the pestilence, the stirring up of the sea. Perhaps they brought to mind those stories that we read in the book of Joshua, when God enabled them to enter the promised land, when you've got this stuff about the sun standing still. Do you remember that story? Where Joshua prays to God as they're attacking the Amorites and the sun stands still. You know, these are kind of bedtime stories for Habakkuk. The stories of God's fame. And he's recalling them because they help him to remember what God is like. See, at its heart, to get strength-giving faith, Habakkuk is recalling what God is like, what the Lord is like. He delivers. He crushes the enemies. He saves his people. He is the sovereign. We use that word a lot in church, but it just means he is kind of all in control, all powerful. He is the sovereign Lord. Habakkuk looks back, and it fuels his trust of God. It drives him on. This is someone to be trusted. He looks back for assurance. He sits there and he says, oh yeah, Egypt, the plagues, the passing through the Red Sea, our God delivers. He saves. And friends, if we are to learn to be mountain deers, if we're going to learn to walk with Habakkuk living by faith, we must learn to look back for our assurance of what God is like. When the road is rough, when the road that God calls you to walk on feels like a mountain slope, and you think, how on earth am I going to walk on this? We must look back to what God has done. As followers of Jesus here tonight, as those who kind of live 2,000 years the other side, Habakkuk's this side of the cross, we live all the way over here, the other side of what Jesus has done, we have something fantastic to look back to, the greatest of deliverances, the cross and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. You see, if we were to write this poem down, what would verse 13 be referring to? Have a look at verse 13. What would this be if this was our song? You came out to deliver your people. Well, surely that would be a reference to Jesus riding out of heaven, as it were, in the incarnation and coming to earth. And what did he come to do? Well, he came to save his people. He came to crush the leader of the land of wickedness. John tells us that Jesus came into the world to destroy the devil's work. That's what he was doing at the cross. We look back. And look at verse 14. I think this is a bit of a head-scratcher, but I want to show you something wonderful about this verse. See, look at verse 14. With his own spear, you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us. You see, just look at that. With his own spear, you pierced his head. God does things in a way that you wouldn't imagine. We've already seen that, haven't we? And here, the way that God saves people is often in this way of taking the very weapon that people were using, and he turns the tables on it, and it's used to destroy them. Now, the cross is no different, is it? You see, the very tool that Satan was using, Satan's own spear, what did he want? He wanted Jesus on the cross. Did you know that? He entered into Satan Because he entered into Judas because he wanted Jesus to get on that cross. He thought, great, this is the end of Jesus. He wanted him there. This was his spear. He was going to lunge it into Jesus and say, I've won. But what does Jesus do? He takes Satan's very own spear and he uses it to pierce his head. It's a wonderful picture. You see that? This is how God rescues. He takes the spear of the enemy and he uses it to work good. People intended it for harm, but God turned it out for our salvation. And if he did it at the cross, that's what he's still doing today. You see, this is the greatest of his deeds with which we can look back to. If there's anything that's made Jesus famous today, it's his cross, isn't it? We've heard of your fame. We've heard, Jesus, what you did at the cross. And we have to learn to look back and say, that's what God's like. But actually, friends, we've got lots of stories of God's deliverance to tell, haven't we? If you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus here tonight, each of us will have a story to tell of how great God is, of what he has done, of a rescue, our own personal rescue. That's a lot of stories in this room, isn't it? And we could each listen to them and remind, well, we could look back and say, oh, do you remember that God did this for me and this for me, and he spoke to me in this way, and then I came to see Jesus. And we could share stories like that, and that would boost us to trust him, wouldn't it? We could talk about experiences of God's powerful help in particular situations. To say the sovereign Lord is my strength, to be a mountain deer, then actually we need to learn to look back for assurance. We need to learn to say, yeah, I know what God's like. I can read it on the pages of the scripture. The cross declares it to me. He's powerful. We've heard of his fame. We've tasted of his fame. Friends, if you are a follower of Jesus, looking back to the cross should be an everyday act of faith. Because it's only, friends, as we look up in dependence, as we draw our strength from God, as we look back in assurance that we will learn to have, or we will get strength to live every day, that we will be mountain deers walking across rough grounds. But the third and final thing that Habakkuk teaches us, you see, if we're going to get this kind of mountain deer type life, is that we have to look forward in confidence. In a week and a bit's time, we are off camping as a family in France, which we're really looking forward to. But I'm really looking forward to it because it was brilliant last year. And it's interesting, isn't it? Something that you've done before, something you can look back to, actually makes you excited about what's ahead. Because we think, oh, I want to do that again. Often something past helps us to look forward to something that's future. In our house, that's birthdays. You know, as soon as one birthday's finished, the next day it's like, oh, for my birthday next year, can I have? So one birthday party leads straight to excitement about the next one because something past helps us to look forward to something future. And friends, the same is true in this prayer of Habakkuk. You see, having looked back at what the Lord has done, as recalling all these rescues of Egypt and of entering the promised land and maybe all the hundreds of stories they would have shared, it helps him to trust God for what he said he will do, to take him at his words. You see, in chapter 2, if you were with us last week, God assured Habakkuk that a day was coming when God would deal with the evil in this world. He would deal in particular for Habakkuk with the nation of Babylon. An end is coming, he said, to this wickedness and evil. I'm going to do this. This nation that God had sovereignly chose to use was a nation that he said one day he would punish. And look at verse 16. When God announced that he was going to use Babylon, how do you think that made Habakkuk feel? Well, I think verse 16 captures it for us. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. I'm pretty sure that's what Habakkuk felt like when God said, oh, and by the way, Habakkuk, I'm going to raise up the Babylonians to do something about this problem. I bet he was terrified at the thoughts. And maybe this is something of the reaction that we have when we see something of the violence and the brokenness of our world around us. Our hearts tremble. Maybe some of the things going on in our society, our world, make you afraid. They make your hearts tremble. But look at what Habakkuk goes on to say in verse 16. Yet, So even though I'm terrified by what's going on in the world, yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. You see, looking back has helped Habakkuk to look forward with confidence, to trust God that one day he will do something. And friends, the same is true for us as believers. As we look back to the cross and as we look back to the resurrection, it helps us to trust God for what he will do in the future, what he's promised he will do, the day of deliverance he has promised when Jesus returns. Looking back at Jesus, our Savior, should help us to look forward to Jesus, our Savior. And it should help us to do it with joy. Look at verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Looking forward grows faith. Did you know that? I don't know, but we're not very good at this sometimes. I don't think we spend a lot of time just dwelling on what's coming. I think we're all so busy or got our minds full of lots of things that we just don't pause to think about what's ahead. But looking forward, having our eyes fixed on the horizon, grows faith. Strength-giving faith. It helps us to be mountain deers. You see, life for Habakkuk wasn't easy, was it? Do you recognize that? Life for him wasn't easy. Impending judgment from the Babylonians. So this mighty nation was about to invade. That was not a happy time for the nation of Israel. Look at verse 17. What was life like for him as he lived it out? Verse 17, the fig tree does not bud. There are no grapes on the vines. Though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Was life easy for Habakkuk? No. But twice in this, he says, even though life isn't easy, even though it's not all sorted out, yet, you notice that? Yet, I will, verse 18, rejoice in the Lord. He can rejoice in the Lord even though things aren't easy. Why? Because he knows that God will do something. He knows that God is his Savior. Verse 16, I will wait patiently. Friends, together we must learn to look forwards, to look with hope in what God will do. Because it's only as we look up in dependence, in prayer, it's only as we look back for our assurance of what God is like, it's only as we look forward in confidence will we learn to say verse 19. Can you look at verse 19 with me one more time? See, it's as Habakkuk has done those three things that he can say, oh yeah, the Lord, the sovereign Lord, the all-in-control Lord is the source of my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. Can I come back to where we started? Do you want to be a mountain deer? You sound half convinced. Do you want to be a mountain deer? Yes, we do want to be a mountain deer. We want to be people who are looking up for our strength from God, looking back for our assurance of what he's like, and looking forward to what he will do. Why? So that we're drawing our strength from him, and he enables us to trot up difficult paths, just like mountain deer do. Because it's only him, the sovereign Lord, is our strength. And if we look to him, friends, he will help us to live by faith. Let's pray about that, and then let's sing to finish off this evening. God, our Father in heaven, you are the sovereign Lord. Father, this world is in your hands. Father, the nations are in your hands. The hearts of leaders are in your hands. Father, we thank you that you are the sovereign God who has saved us through sending Jesus your Son. We thank you that you are the sovereign Lord who has promised one day that you will send that Son, that very same Son, Jesus, to judge this world, to rid this world of wickedness. And sovereign Lord, we ask that you would help us to look up to you in dependence, that we might be mountain deer on whatever you call us to walk through. Father, please would you be the source of our strength. Would we learn to live by trusting in you, even when things are hard. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.